The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 6, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
What a blessed day it is here at KBBF. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it's already May 6th. Where did April go? It's just amazing. It's just amazing. I cannot believe how quickly everything just flies back. Well, I have two very special guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio this morning will be Juliana McDonald and Madeline Jamarillo, who are both students at Sonoma State University and organizers of the Sonoma State University Solidarity Encampment for Gaza. As we speak at SSU, they are, I believe, camped out right now. The ladies just came into the studio. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
I'm just so thrilled to be facing one and one here. I have actually two people in the studio here, so young and so beautiful. Just welcome. Welcome here. And such strong activists and so determined. I mean, these are the women we've been waiting for, you know. I mean, I've been in this game since 1968, I think, and here we are in 2024, and these young women are still going through the same struggles that I went through at that time. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Well, I am really excited about today's show, but I'm also amazed at what goes on in the month of May. First of all, I want to do a shout out. There was a wonderful, wonderful gathering on Sunday at Courthouse Square. It was called the Young People of the 60s. Thank you for thanking the young people of 2024. It was really interesting. A shout out to my dear friend Susan Lamond for organizing this. And it was just amazing. People out there protesting the war, protesting what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with Israel and Gaza. You know, enough is enough. You know, it's about time that we stop and we get our heads together and we say, hey, wait a minute. It's time to go on. And another thing that is really amazing, today is May 6th, but on May 4th, 1970, and I remember that day like it was yesterday when they announced on the radio that two students were shot and killed at Kent State. And it was just, I mean, when I think about it, I'm going to read this. Four Kent State University students were killed. I didn't realize it was four. I only thought it was two, but it was actually four. And on May 4th, 1970, when members of the Ohio National Guard opened fire on the crowd together to protest the Vietnam War. You know, this is May 4th, 1970, and what's so interesting to me, a little tidbit on this, is that Robert McNamara, who was aide to President John Kennedy, actually came out with a book that said that Vietnam was a mistake. I mean, when I heard that on the radio, I almost fell off my chair. And here we are in 2024 that students are protesting again because of what's happening between Israel and Gaza. And, I mean, it's so unfair what's happening. I mean, I can't say that either side is right. I mean, violence was projected. But there's one thing that I can say. It is not fair. You got one side that's getting tons of money from the United States and the other side that, you know, when I hear that they're throwing bottles over to on the Israeli side, you know, little, I don't know what they call them. They're these bombs that go off. And yet, what they're being hit with Israel, it just seems so unfair. But the whole idea is that there's so much violence there and it has to stop. And here you have the students, just like myself, when we were protesting Vietnam, they are protesting the unjust wars that are happening right now. And just like we were right But it took thousands of people, thousands of young men coming back with PTSD, hundreds and thousands being killed and shot on both sides, Agent Orange. And here McNamara comes out with a book and says this was a mistake. Well, maybe we need to pay attention to that, because I think this is a huge mistake. I mean, when you think as a human species, we can fly airplanes, we can replace hearts, we can do all these miraculous things with medicine and with cars and with airplanes, and we can't figure a way to have peace on Earth? I mean, it is just stunning to me. It is really stunning, and it's been going on. You know, I was born in 1940. From the day that I hit this Earth, we have been at war. And I say to myself, what is it? What is it in the human species that we think that we can kill each other this way? I mean, it's like we give each other permission to do these violent acts, and then we all cry about it. Well, I think it's about time we start paying attention to these students, and I think it's very important what we're going to hear this morning. I mean, I'm so stoked about this when I see these young people coming forward and saying enough is enough. And also, it's their future. You know, I'm a great-grandmother right now. And when I look at my two great-grandchildren, I say to myself, wait a minute. I can't stop. I can't, you know, there's an old song called By My Silence, I Give My Consent. I can't stop. I have to keep talking and reaching out. Well, anybody out there that becomes a mother, it's your obligation to stand up for that child and make sure that there is peace on earth and goodwill to all. And we start looking at how can we live in peace. And, you know, I'm a student of unity. And one of the things they say, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Very, very interesting thought. Well, another thing that's happening in May, which I found out, which I think is really interesting, and that's May 6th to May 12th, is Nurses Week. You know, I want to do a shout out to my friend Lisa Maldonado, who works with the Nurses Union here in Sonoma County. She's also on our board of directors, and I want to thank her for all the work that she's doing. Well, here it says, May 6th to May 12th is Nurses Week. National Nurses Week, celebrated May 6th through May 12th each year. A time to recognize nurses' contributions to society. Historically, the American Nurses Association, ANA, legislators, local nurses, and health officials remain persistent in the fight to establish national recognition for nurses in the United States. I have an issue with this. Persistent in the fight. Why do we have to fight to establish national recognition for our nurses? I mean, I would not be here if it were not for the nurses. I mean, by God, when God forbid something happens to you and you have to go in the hospital, who's taking care of you? It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's a nurse. And I think it's amazing that we take a whole week to acknowledge them. And I want to thank each and every one of them for all the work that they do. Across the street from me, I have a neighbor, and she has two daughters who are nurses. So I get a little insight into the work and how hard it is. And it's an amazing, so hope they celebrate. And one thing is I want them to know that Women's Spaces definitely recognizes them. In fact, nurses have made history for us. And there's two birthdays that I want to celebrate today. And this woman was born on May 7th, 1945, and she made her transition in 1926. And that's Mary Eliza Mahoney, the first African-American to study and work as a professionally trained nurse in the U.S. Well, what gives me insight, or at least a good feeling, that here it took her, she was the first woman of color to be a nurse. Amazing, amazing. Another woman that I'd like to celebrate is she was born on May 9th, 1928, and she made her transition in 1987, and that's Garcelia Olivareza. She was a lawyer who advocated for civil rights for the poor, the first woman and the first Latina to graduate from Notre Dame Law School in 1970. Well, you know, it's really interesting when you start thinking about it. In 1970, that really was the height of the women's movement. And here is the first woman, the first Latina to graduate from Notre Dame Law School in 1970, and she was appointed director of the Community Services Administration by President Carter, making her the highest-ranking Latina in administration in 1977. Wow, that is really an amazing thing. Well, you know, like I said, May is a very interesting month. You know, May Day, you know, is May 1st. And you know, it's interesting about May 1st is a very interesting day because you have not only May Day, which is an International Workers Day that we're celebrating, but we also have May Day, which is kind of a pagan holiday that they celebrate where they go around the Maypole and there's all kinds of beautiful things that happen. It's actually a Celtic festival that started. It's around the Blessed Mary, and here it is also International Workers Day, also known as Labor Day in some countries. So May is a very, very important month. And what's also interesting about May, and I have a special announcement to make, is that next week I'm going to be having Riviera Sun on. Riviera is a member of Code Pink, and we're going to be talking about the Mother's Day proclamation. Really, really interesting. Well, I just want to make a little commentary after all these announcements. Oh, one last thing I forgot. My poor sister Evelyn Holtz had fallen and she fractured her hip. And I want to say, hi, Evelyn. I hope you're listening and I wish you a speedy recovery. Well, I want to just make a little comment here again. Like I said, Robert McNamara wrote the book when he was talking about the war in Vietnam was a mistake. He made over $1 million on that book. I mean, it is when I first heard that, when I heard that he actually confessed it was a mistake, and we all knew it was a mistake. I mean, I remember I was at Los Angeles City College, and I remember there was a meeting. And I thought, I was a journalism major at the time, and I had to go out and I'd do a story there. And it was a big meeting, and there was all these different soldiers that had come back from Vietnam. And they were burning their draft cards. They were throwing their medals of honor into fire. People were so mad. They were crying. PTSD was a whole new thing on the radar. And all of a sudden, when you start looking at these people and you start looking at these young men, I mean, some of them were no more than 18 or 19 years old. And then I remember Born on the 4th of July with Ron Kovac, who never, he was a paraplegic. He was in Vietnam for 25 minutes and he was shot down, became a paraplegic and wrote a book and went through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And then all of a sudden, Robert McNamara comes out and says it was a mistake. It's not that I favor war. But when we're screaming and yelling, get out, get out, it's a mistake, it's a mistake, and we have the police beating our heads in, and here some 40 years later, this man comes out with a book and says it was a mistake. I think we better start paying attention to what's going on, because I think we're making a lot of mistakes. And the biggest mistake we're making is we're starving our children and not giving them a future. That's the biggest mistake. You know, and I think of what's going on with the children in those areas, my heart just breaks. You know, there's an old saying, there but poor fortune, you go, you or I. Well, that's a lot to chew on, and we have a pretty heavy-duty program today, and so I think we're going to take a musical break here. And, you know, the musical break I'm going to take, there's a great song that Marvin Gaye recorded. And, you know, this is Women's Spaces, so I always research and find women that are singing. I found one of my favorite singers, I couldn't believe it, Etta James, who sang What's Going On. And that's what we're going to play today. Because what is going on? What is happening? Why is this happening? What's the motivation for it happening? I mean, it makes no sense. War makes no sense. I was listening to YouTube the other night, and I saw some of the destruction. I says, what? What are we doing? I mean, I think the human race is nuts, if you want to know my opinion. We better wake up. We really better wake up. Well, I love this song, What's Going On? I think it asks a lot of questions. And just think about it. We spend millions, not only millions, billions of dollars defending what I'm not sure of. And yet when it comes to medical care, when it comes to education, when it comes to fixing our roads, all the debates that go on. But when it comes to war profiting and war money, 5 minutes to vote, that's it. It's over. Not even a debate. Not even a debate. Well, anyway, when we come back, joining me in the studio this morning are Juliana McDonald and Mandy Lynn Jamalio, and they are both students for Sonoma State University and organizers of the Sonoma State University of Solidarity Encampment for Gaza. As we speak, it's happening right now at Sonoma State. And just FYI, you guys, I am an alumni. I graduated in 1975 at the height of women's studies. I mean, we were one of the first universities, actually, that had a women's studies department. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play What's Going On by Etta James. And let's, when we come back, we'll be talking to our two student guests.
Yes, what's going on?
And, well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions that expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. I'm really excited about today's show. Sitting right in front of me are two Gana McDonald and Maddie Lynn Jamalia here in the studio. Pardon?
Do one at a time.
Yeah, I want you to introduce yourself, so why don't you say hello? Madeline Giuliano, you say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, and you go ahead, Madeline.
Hi.
And this is Juliana. This way the folks can hear when we start talking because mm-hmm. we're going to go back or forth. Now, is it okay if I tell the folks just a little bit about both of you before we start the interview?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's start with Madeline Giuliano. She's a third-year student studying business and dance. I was a dancer myself. Love dancing. She spends most of her time in school getting involved in the communities and dance active spaces outside of the school. She has taken on a role of incorporating activism to the program here and opening minds and eyes to the contrasting world outside of dance. This is a company and community outside of the institutional world. She is a core organizer for the Sonoma State University Solidarity Encampment for Gaza. Lady Lynn, talk about why do they call it encampment? What does that mean, encampment?
Well, we are outside. We are camping in tents, and it actually has become more of a classroom setting for us, a big education space for all students, and camping outside is a way for us to show up into the space and for us to be a part of our campus in a way that needs to be happening.
Well, congratulations on doing it. I mean, it's a big step, I think, that you've taken to do that. I mean, it's amazing to me. Let's talk a little bit about Juliana. She is a first-year student at getting a degree in political science and history. She has a strong passion for international relationships and human rights. She's been a community organizer and activist for many years and loves to engage with and learn from fellow organizers. She is also a core organizer of the Sonoma State University Solidarity Encampment for Gaza. Well, welcome, ladies. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or you'd like our listeners to know about you?
I think that's pretty good.
Well, good. Well, let's start. Let's begin with, you know, what the whole idea of Women's Spaces is, to encourage women to stand up and speak out, do exactly what you're doing. And I believe that the way we give each other confidence is when we share our stories. You know, we tell how we got involved, what some of our challenges are, and I think it reduces some of the fears that people have about getting involved. So let's start out. Why don't we start out with you? To begin with, talk about what motivated you to become an activist and who or what influenced you, and then afterwards, if you could speak, who influenced you, and what was that day you woke up and said, wow, I'm going to do something?
I got a lot of inspiration and motivation from the strong women in my life, particularly my educators. They've played a huge role in my world views, my knowledge, my desire to learn and expand my mind, and the way I become involved in community. So faculty played a huge role. I also lived in Asia as a child for a little bit, and gaining that global perspective at an early age really broadened my horizons and broke me out of the censorship of Western media that we often experience, and opened my eyes to a lot of viewpoints that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
What brought you to Asia?
My parents just wanted to go.
So, and you lived there for a few years?
A couple months.
Yeah. What did you learn? What did you walk away with?
Culture differences. I think that was the biggest thing. It was incredible to gain an understanding of something outside of the norm of what I was experiencing in my everyday life and everyday communities. The ways in which people in other countries interact with each other, how they build movements, how they build social circles, how they go about their lives. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Thank you.
And you're a first year student at Sonoma State.
Yeah, I am.
What brought you to Sonoma State? What was the pull there?
I like the area a lot. And I know they have a good political science department, good Model UN department. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was a sociology major.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was really very, very interesting. And Juliana, what about yourself? What was that day?
This is Madeline.
Madeline. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No
you
worries.
Have to forgive me. Madeline, what was your first experience? I mean, what was that day that you said, all of a sudden, I'm going to become active? What was your motivation, and who was it that was inspiring you at that time?
Mm-hmm. I think it took more than it was more than a day. I think over the last couple of years in college, being involved in the Stance program in particular, there are many faculty that show support to students in a variety of ways that other professors do not, particularly care for us and show a lot of examples of how to show up in spaces, how to take care of your community, and how to do more than just the research and how to take action in our research. Yeah, I don't think I can say enough about the faculty in that program. They have played a huge, tremendous part in my understanding of how to unlearn and relearn. And I don't think I can say more than that. They're really quite incredible.
You know, it's interesting that you say that your faculty, you had to unlearn what you learned and then relearn. I mean, that's how I felt when I came back to school. I was like such a square at that time. And when all of a sudden they were the Vietnam was going on and the protests. And I thought, you know, I mean, I'm a first generation American. So I thought, you know, my grandparents, when they came here, they kissed the ground. And I thought, wow, I can't believe this is going on. I had to unlearn and relearn and unlearn and relearn. And before you know it, I thought, my God, everything I've been taught was backwards. I mean, it's an amazing experience. It really was. Well, you know, you're both students of Sonoma State, which is, I'm an alumni of that, and you're part of this encampment program. How did that evolve? What was the day? Was there a meeting, a special meeting? Was there another protest you went? How did you get involved? And what did it entail? Setting up that encampment. Let's start with you, Madeline. We'll take turns going back and forth. Let's start with you. What was that day that happened that all of a sudden is going to happen?
Well, to start, I think the April 15th blocks, that was a big day for us connecting as students because we've known of each other lightly and seen each other's work here and there. But the night before, we really connected, met on Zoom, made a lot of organizing happen. And then I think the weekend after is when we started to see encampments popping up more and more. And that was the moment where we had gathered some more students in some group chats, and we proposed, are we ready to do this? Are we ready to start organizing? Are we, how do we feel about putting everything we have into this?
Well, you know, what happened? Give us a little overview of what happened on April 15th. That was your kickoff, so to speak.
Our kickoff from Sonoma State, some of us students, regularly go out into the bay and, participate in protests there. I think connecting the night before and having a plan for some of us to stay on campus and kick something off, and then a few of us to go carpool down to Oakland at the blockade on 880 South. That was a big night for us. That was a lot of work. That was a lot of coming together, meeting each other for the first time actually, and coming back, debriefing and figuring out how we can get more students involved on campus, because that is where we are currently, and that's where we can start as students.
Well, Juliana, talk a little bit about, where did you get your confidence? I mean, here all of a sudden, you know, I mean, when you have to go out and protest, I remember my first protest, I was scared to death. I marched for abortion. And when all of a sudden we were marching and someone threw a jar at me, and then all of a sudden I looked and I saw the police and I had my daughter with me, I just freaked out. I said, oh, my God, I'm in a protest. What's going to happen to me? And I just had to pull myself up and say, no, I'm going to just keep one foot in front of the other. So where did you get your confidence? I mean, what went through you at that time before you took the first action in that area?
Yeah, it can definitely be a tense environment. I've been protesting for many years, going out into the community. I'm originally from Sacramento, so they have a large and powerful protest community that I've been connected to, and that's what's really given me the confidence and power to speak up, is having those people around me, those leaders and organizers that have showed me how different tactics, how to de-escalate, how to hold myself accountable, how to behave in these environments, and ultimately just provided me with the tools to create my own movements and participate in ones globally and organize and create real change. I would also like to add that for this movement in particular, the people of Gaza have given me power and encouragement. And I recognize my privilege in a lot of ways, that I need to utilize it to uplift the voices that don't have a platform and that are silenced and oppressed and marginalized. And so that gives me power, being able to do that for people.
It's like you have compassion and empathy, you know, and also that old saying, until you walk a mile in my shoes, you really don't understand. And then all of a sudden when you're sitting here, and especially when you're protesting, because you begin to realize the responses you get and, you know, the interaction sometimes with people. So that takes a lot, really, it does. Well, what has occurred, you know, what, when you say the people of Gaza, you know, the thing that I'm recognizing more and more is that you have, I can't explain it. I just feel it's like a deja vu moment for me. You know, when I look at all the destruction and I see the children crying and all that other stuff, I mean, it just tears at me. I say, why? How do you keep yourself from not dumping into those kinds of feelings of like, I can't go on, nothing's happening, nobody's paying attention? How do you handle that?
I think that's definitely something to be cautious of, because often you can get sucked into that. For me personally, however, I'm able to see those horrifying, devastating images, able to keep up with the news and turn it into motivation to keep this going. Really harnessing those feelings of devastation and loss and horror and put it into this movement and build something and uplift Palestinian voices. And I think it is important to, when you're working for this movement in this environment, to stay up to date on everything that is happening, no matter how hard it may be.
So just keeping up to date, you think, and that kind of helps you. How about you, my friend? How do you respond to all this? How do you keep yourself sane?
I think the connection and the community support that we've built over the last 11 days has been very helpful. Also, the motivation does really help me to seek more allies in my old social circles, classmates from the previous semesters, really anyone that we can reach out to see if we can gather them, start conversations, encourage more movement on campus, because right now there's so many ways that students can help each other, that students can pull towards this movement. It's not all just camping and researching. There's a lot of support and hands that can go around here.
Well, that is really a lot, you know, a lot to chew on when you start thinking about it. I mean, it does take a lot of courage, and it takes a commitment, not only just a commitment to stand out there, but a commitment to learn at what's going on, to motivate yourself. So now here we are. We're in camp. We're out here in Sonoma Stout, and here's Gaza over here. What are some of the things that have impacted you? You say you've been in encampment now for 11 days. What are some of the things that have happened, or some of the changes that you've seen, and how have people been responding to you?
We've had some counter protests as well as anonymous threats online. That's definitely impacted some sense of safety. It's also impacted our energy and our our ability to mobilize as students and gather and conduct trainings, receive a lot of education from community members that have a lot of previous experience protesting. So I think in that way, we've been able to really pull together and embody these practices as well for our safety and for the purposes of moving forward with all our goals and our demands.
Well, with your counter, with the counter protest, what do you find? What are people saying to you? What is it? How are they jumping? I remember, like I said, when I was marching for abortion, and when they threw a jar with a fetus, and my little girl was right with me, and I was just shocked. I mean, I didn't know if I could go on, and someone kind of pushed me, and I said, "Well, I can go on," and I grabbed her hand. So, what are some of the counter protests that are happening?
It's often Zionists that want to engage in discussion, and those discussions will not be productive 9 out of 10 times. So we practice de-escalation. We try not to engage. However, we are open to discussion. We're not going to shut people down. I think education is so powerful, and having those conversations can open minds. But often it is Zionist rhetoric.
What's their fear? What are they confronting? I mean, what do they say to you?
They say that God bless Israel, and that they call us terrorists, they call us names, and it's very harmful. It is. It puts us in danger, and it's also not true. We're trying to end a genocide.
Well, trying to end a genocide, end a war, have peace. You know, I mean, why is that so? What, you ever ask yourself as young women, why is that so difficult?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an age old question, and people have been asking it for years through Vietnam, through various movements.
Yeah. Well, it's like General Eisenhower said, you know, it's that industrial complex, that war machine that just makes this very, very profitable. It keeps moving on and on and on, and we don't think at the end that how destructive it is. Well, what are some, now you're at the camp, what are some of the things that happened during this 11 days that have really, you know, created more motivation, created more anxiety, more challenges?
Well, the genocide has not slowed since we have started, since any of the schools or encampments have started, and they're still popping up. On campus, we've been working with campus police and the student admin in hopes of getting active support towards our demands, and thus far, they've been mainly conversations about student safety, which is we're definitely, I think, taking some offense too, because we are here putting ourselves on the line and doing everything that we can to support the people of Gaza and to put our demands forward, plain and simple.
If they claim to care about our safety, they need to take the proper steps to get us off of that lawn. You know, we're not there for fun. We're not on a camping trip. There are demands that we're asking to have met. And we cannot keep having these safety conversations, though it is a concern, without moving forward on our demands, because that is the way to get out of the situation.
What are some of your demands?
We're demanding that the school disclose their investments, disclose all information of any support going to the Israeli government, and start immediate plans to divest. We are demanding academic boycott for the programs that study abroad to Israel. We are also demanding a curriculum change, and that the administration and the institution fully fund and support the hires of this new curriculum. And we are also demanding that they make a statement for a permanent ceasefire.
Well, you know, the word demand, you know, a lot of people hear that word demand. And what I say is that you're not demanding. You're letting people know this is what we need in order to go forward and have peace. You know, why is that difficult for them to understand? And why is it difficult to understand that you're out there protesting because the ceasefire is not happening? Like you said, the genocide is continuing. You know, I mean, I just visualize. People have to visualize. What would it be like? What would you expect if this was happening to us? I mean, how would we feel? What would we want other countries coming out and standing up for us and saying, look, this has got to stop. You know, and what has got to stop? The killing of women, the killing of children, the destruction of apartments and hospitals. I mean, this is, I mean, why would anybody question that when this you see the destruction? So I just want to validate what you're doing is so important because you're standing up for the future is what you're really doing. And people have to understand that. You know, I remember when we were protesting, they called us all kinds of names, and I felt so bad. I actually wrote it because everything at that time, everything was communism, communism, communism. And I wrote an article. I was a journalism major on, I'm tired of the communists getting all the credit. I want the credit to go to thinking college students like myself because I was never anti-war until all of a sudden I start hearing all these different things that are happening gave me a whole different perspective. I mean, that's part of getting educated, when you're talking about education, to see what is, like the song, what's going on? We'll find out what's going on before you have an opinion. So I just had to throw that in. So we're going to take a quick break right now. And the song I'm going to play is, it's called I Ain't Afraid, and it's sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Chorus. And this is one of my favorite songs. When you start thinking about what is going on in this world, particularly around the religion and, you know, all this, you know, I would say expectations, like to have an expectation that you have a right to do that. So, you know, it creates a lot of fear in a lot of us. So let's go ahead and play that song, Ken. I Ain't Afraid, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women Chorus. This song expresses what I believe is appropriate for today's show. We live in a great mystery. I mean, yesterday I was out in downtown Santa Rosa. We were all protesting and talking, having wonderful conversations. And I looked up in the sky and I thought, my world, we live in a mystery. Well, here we are in this middle of the universe, a planet floating around, and all we can think of is how we can kill each other. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. And then we believe in this mythical God who's supposed to be a prince of peace, a prince of love, and yet look what we're doing. It's just amazing. Anyway, when we come back, I will continue my conversation with Juliana McDonald and Madeleine Jamilo, who are both students at Sonoma State University and core organizers of the Sonoma State University. I love this solidarity encampment for Gaza. And it's happening right now as we speak. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song.
I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your churches. I ain't afraid of your temples. I ain't afraid of your praying. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up to your higher power. Free up from the fear it will devour you. Watch out for the ego of the hour. The ones who say they know it are the ones who will impose it on you. I ain't afraid of your Bible. I ain't afraid of your Torah. I ain't afraid of your Koran. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your music. I ain't afraid of your dancing. I ain't afraid of your stories. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up and see a higher story. Free up from the gods of war and glory. Watch out for the threats of purgatory. The spirit of the wind will make a killing of the sin and Satan. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God.
I I ain't afraid. You know, that's really interesting. But I'm afraid of all this religious rhetoric that comes back and forth, and that justifies some of the stuff that goes on. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, there is no justification for war. And I can't imagine any God up there in the sky, if it's such a thing, saying, you can go and kill this one and that one. No, it doesn't work that way. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm continuing my conversation with two Sonoma State students who are part of the Sonoma State University Solidarity Encampment for Gaza, and it's happening right now as we speak. So let's continue our conversation. So in what ways has the administration, for example, assisted you in your demands, and are they on the right track with you? And also, we were talking on the break about some of your friends, that they want to support you, but at the same time, they're kind of resistant to getting involved, you know. And I think that makes sense, because there's a level of fear to go out and to make a demand, especially when you're a student. Because I know one of the things when I was a student, it was the fear of being expelled because I was doing stuff like this. So how is that happening? You wanted to go ahead and discuss that.
Yeah, in terms of administration, they are taking a very passive approach and kind of seeming to wait us out, see what we'll do when the school year ends. They're claiming to be supportive and supporting our right to free speech, which is great that they're not physically removing us like many universities are facing. However, that does not equal support. We're still coming up against the challenges of dismissal, being silenced, ignored. And though those conversations are starting about our demands with administration, they are pointing us in a lot of directions that is not helpful. They'll point us to the CSU system or associated students or other organizations because their hands are tied, quote unquote. This is not true. They do hold a lot of power, and I do understand that there are very complicated logistics involved in making demands like this happen. However, we have seen divestment in the past from South Africa. We have seen student movements and the change that they have inflicted. What they also don't realize is they can throw up these roadblocks and provide us with 1,000 different people to go talk to, and we'll get it done. You know, we are an incredibly powerful student organization and community, and they could tell us to write a book and we'd get it done in a week, you know. So we'll find a way to make our demands be met.
Well, you talked also about some of your friends, some of the issues that they're having. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think a big issue that's come up on campus, too, is a lot of hesitation from students, hesitation to visit the encampment or even to just take the time out of their day to come talk with us. We are seeing really how the encampment has become what a classroom should be. And like you said, Elaine, better late than never. It's important for students to show up to support each other. Students in our old social circles, classes in the past, we're reaching out to them. We're pulling as many resources as we can. I think also a big thing too, as a student walking by or visiting the encampment, is we have a lot of community support coming in and out every day. We have speakers come. We have chants that we do all together outside in the student center. And I think hearing from the community members, being in the space physically, hearing and just listening to what's going on around camp, seeing the help that students are offering one another, I think that is really the most important place to start if you're a student and you've just been walking by as the week has gone by. I do think it's important just to feel the presence of community and to hear the voices of our Palestinian community, of the Palestinian workers on campus. I think if anyone's listening and planning to come by this week, to show up and just to watch and listen.
Well, you know, it's real interesting when you talk about these things, because what you're actually doing, in my mind, is you're fighting for a future. You're fighting for a future that has faith, that has peace, because I really believe in my heart of hearts that if this continues on, it could be a global thing. And it's got to stop somewhere. It's got to stop. War has to stop. Well, you know, we're coming very quickly to the end of the segment. You know, in this room, it just radio time, we just can't define it. And this is my favorite subject. What you did was, I have to tell my listeners, I have my guests send me questions. And these young ladies were very, very generous. They sent me some wonderful questions. But one of the questions that really struck me is, is the Palestine struggle a feminist issue? That really struck me. I thought, now, let's see, how is that a feminist issue? So why don't you first start, Juliana? Let us know, what do you mean by that? That this whole issue between Palestine and Israel is a feminist issue. What is your take on that? Why do you say that?
Well, women have been the forefront of movements throughout history and the forefront of this movement. We have seen incredible journalists on the ground. We have seen mothers standing in front of bombs to protect their children. We have seen women standing in with each other with guns to their head, with bombs being dropped in solidarity with each other. We have seen horrible, horrible war crimes committed against women, and they do not stop the fight. They will be out there protecting themselves, protecting each other day after day, no matter what is happening. And they will use their voices even when it gets them killed. So women really are the power. And we have seen this reflected throughout history. And often women are silenced because of it, you know? Because we are the change makers, because we are the organizers, the leaders, because we're powerful and we get things done.
What is your thought, my friend?
I completely agree with everything that Juliana just said. Yeah, we are incredibly powerful. Generations of knowledge, embodied knowledge, history, experiences, incredible resourcefulness, I will say, and skills in building relationships and bonds and energy.
Just think, ladies, you know, women were burned as witches because they believed in herbs. You know, I mean, it's like a that is what's so perplexing to me, that here we are in 2024. They want to take our right away to choose. They want to kill our children. They want to silence our students. I don't understand, you know, and people don't recognize that what we're doing is, when we allow it to happen, we're letting go of a lifestyle that we've all become accustomed to. And that's called living in a free country, that you are allowed to have a voice. I mean, the forefathers, even though they were not perfect, they gave us one right, which is free speech. And that free speech is that we have every right to stand up in grievances against our government. This is our constitutional right. And I think I really applaud you for standing up and for doing that. Go ahead.
I do want people to remember that students are the teachers in this moment and throughout history. Students have been the teachers. Women are the teachers, and women are resilient as heck.
Well, I'm going to end. I'm going to let you end it on that thought. Women are resilient as heck. I like that. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, well, we're at the end of this segment, and so I'm going to give you a chance for last words. Let's start with you, Julianne, and then we'll go on to you, Mindy Lynn, and whatever's in your heart, give us your website, how they can get a hold of you, and how they can support you, and we've got about 2 minutes, so let's go.
All right, let's speed run it. Students for Justice in Palestine at Sonoma's Instagram is at ssu.sjp. We also have a Faculty and Staff for Justice in Palestine, which is at fsjp.ssu. I recommend you follow both. We have incredible resources for weekly events, for amplifying student voices, for amplifying Palestinian voices. And I would like to say that education is power and resistance is power. And we are happy to have you listen to us, happy to have you come out and speak with us. We're building something really special, really incredible here.
Mm-hmm. And also to students at Sonoma State and universities that are popping up encampments currently, there are so many ways that you can support them. There are so many ways you can support your friends. Really, truly, please reach out to your peers. Start conversations when things come up in the classroom. Do not keep silent, please. There, in particular for SJP, we have a big supply dock. We have announcements. We have events from community members showing up, coming and engaging with us and the community. That's the first step. And finding ways that you can use your privilege to support the people around you and to support this movement is of extreme importance.
Give us the website one more time.
It's on Instagram. At ssu.sjp. And I do want to highlight our incredible faculty because they have showed up day after day. And their Instagram is at fsjp.ssu.
And all that information will be on www.womenspaces.com. And I want to do a special shout out to my dear friend Ron Lopez for giving me your names and for supporting you in the way that he's doing. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, we love you, Ron.
We have been listening to Women's Spaces. I wanted to make a special thank you to Madeline Julialdo. Did I pronounce it right? I mean,
Jaramillo.
And Juliana McDonald. Thank you so much for being here and much, much success.
Anyway, thank you for having us, Elaine.
This is Elaine Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to make one comment. It's not only the people in Palestine that are suffering. It's also the people in Israel, the women and children. There are Jewish voices for peace that are speaking out. We want peace. We want them to have a voice and want to have a place where they have peace and prosperity. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I've been your host. And as I do every single week, I remind you, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 6, 2024.